Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hi, I'm Jessica Aaronworth, and welcome to Brain Healthy. I am so excited to have Linda Ugolo in the studio with me today. Linda has unleashed her own extraordinary potential and has been fortunate and talented enough to travel the world as a principal dancer and choreographer with the Women's World Music Ensemble, Libana. On today's show, Linda is going to share all the amazing skills that she has learned and secrets on how to overcome stage fright while public speaking, while doing interviews, or on live platforms such as Periscope and Facebook Live, which are all such important platforms for our business world today. Linda, hi, how are you?
I am so excited to be with you today. Jessica, I'm doing great.
Amazing. And likewise, I'm so excited to have you here. You have, you know, you've had your hurdles in life but have really overcome them. And just the experience to dance around the world. Wow.
Well, I have to confess that I have overcome many hurdles, but there are still hurdles that I feel I'm in the process of overcoming. So it's not like you get there and you're just, it's a static experience.
And no, the, and the you other, know what?
Yeah,
continue.
I was going to say that there may be an area in your life that you feel, oh, I got this now. And then there's a whole other area of your life that is as yet unexplored.
And, you know, I think it's really nice that you've expressed that, because I totally agree with you. And it doesn't matter how much you've done in your own life. You know, you're always peeling back more layers. So you overcome one hurdle and get ready to take on the next. And a hurdle doesn't have to be negative the way that a lot of people think of that word. A hurdle can be fun and exciting and a challenge, you know, and when you think of life as continuous challenges, we really never get to where
exciting.
We want to be. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. That's
once you get to where you want to be, you stop growing.
Yes. Yes. I even remember a story that I heard once about this woman whose father played golf. He was a tennis player, and he got so good at tennis. And later in life, he switched to golf. And she said, "Dad, why don't you play tennis anymore?" And he said, "Well, I felt like I wasn't growing anymore. And in golf, suddenly I have this whole new possibility of expanding myself. And I think that's true for all of us, that we reach a level of proficiency in some area, and then we look around and say, what's next?
Exactly. And that's what makes life exciting, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Yeah.
So, you know, I find the work that you're doing so fascinating. There are some parallels between the two of us. I don't know if you know that. But my first degree was in theater and music, and then I started studying expressive arts therapy before I moved into psychology.
Well,
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so I have a degree in expressive art therapy, too, in movement studies.
Nice.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about how you're mixing your art form and business, because you're doing some really cool stuff.
Oh, thank you. Well, let's see. I think that I wasn't really aware when I began to start an online business of what I was going to, what skill set I was bringing to it. Originally, I thought, well, let's see if I can bring my dance events. I have been teaching movement classes or events that blend personal development and spirituality. And I thought, I wonder if there's a way to bring that onto, you know, into this new technical world. And on the way to the market, so to speak, I discovered that I really was drawn to help people with their mindset, that was a way that translated more easily into Skype work and, you know, online work with people more readily than movement, although I haven't left the movement part out completely. It was more maybe a new discovery that of a way that I loved helping people. And as I began to build my coaching business and look at ways to reach my audience and communicate my ideas, I discovered that there were all of these, you know, visual platforms such as Periscope. You mentioned Facebook Live. I am going to do one this afternoon. That's on my to-do list today, is to do it for the first time. Facebook Live, and also
amazing
videos and webinars. Yeah, and speaking on stage, of course. And that's something that has been part of my background, you know, in a very small way in terms of giving workshops with my performing group or announcing things or, you know, sharing about music verbally on stage. Because what we do is we help bridge cultures and create, foster understanding between cultures through music and dance. So there is some speaking in there that has evolved. And that even though you say, oh, just introducing songs, that's a very small part of speaking or a musical performance. But in fact, it's the place where most of the people in the group get most fearful, is having to introduce songs. So it's not trivial. So anyway, what happened was that when I began to investigate and explore working on Periscope and on videos, I felt like a happy clam. I thought, oh, I love this. I love being in front of the camera. And then I was listening in on what other people were saying. And they were saying quite the opposite, which is, oh my God, what am I going to say? I don't like my voice. I don't like the way I use my body. I feel so awkward. People are going to be looking at me. Ah, you know, all this this fear stuff that I get in some other areas, but I don't get in this area. So then I began to think, okay, what is it that I have brought to this? What's been in my background? What's been my process that has got me to a place where I love being in front of the camera? I loved being in Morocco at this festival and having six cameras on me on stage. I thought, this is a blast. And I will go into how I got there. But so what I began now is this process of deconstructing what is my process, what has allowed me that I may not even be thinking about anymore because I've gathered it or developed it over years' time. But that has allowed me to be comfortable being seen, be comfortable being heard, kind of letting go of the judgment and healing whatever fear I may have had earlier in my life of feeling not good enough or feeling awkward or feeling people are going to be judging me. So does that answer your question? Did I get off tangent there? Okay.
Never.
No, off tangents.
Exactly. You know, and it's such a rich topic because the fear of really letting go and just being exactly who you are and allowing the world to see that. And as you said, allowing yourself to be heard and to be seen and bringing all that extraordinary potential that each and every one of us have within our lives to this world and really speaking our truth. And there is so much fear around that. It's like, okay, well, where do I go from here? I know that in my performing career, you know, the place where I always kept on getting stuck was not stage fright on stage once I had the part, but stage fright on at the audition process for me.
Yes.
It was that external validation that became so important that I could never make it through because I would lose my voice and my voice would shake and it would be terrifying.
Yes. And that is so much about perspective and mindset, because when we get so attached to the outcome and fearful about what the outcome would be, it's, oh, you know, you, I just want to mention a favorite book here.
Mm-hmm. I love books.
It's called Rejection Proof by Jia Zhang. It's a fabulous book about this man who he wanted so badly to be an entrepreneur. He had a high-tech job, decided, okay, I'm going to go for it. Got an investor who was really interested in this app he was developing with a great team. And then the investor reneged. And Jia Zhang was devastated, just devastated, and he couldn't move on. And so he decided to investigate feeling rejected. And he came across a website called rejectiontherapy.com, and decided to, it recommended creating a 30-day rejection challenge where you would go out and purposefully seek out rejection in order to get you comfortable with feeling rejected. And he kind of liked this idea, and he decided to do a 100-day challenge and make up his own fun things to do. And it's an extraordinary book. And I think it will forever change the way you think about rejection. And
I know I'll definitely be getting my hands on that one.
Get it. And it not only will it forever change you, but it's a funny, funny read. It's a book that you want to read aloud to somebody because it's a great story. It's so well written. So what I'm saying about mindset with, you know, going through auditions is, if you had the mindset, like what if you were able to go into an audition and feel like, I love singing in front of people and I don't care, or acting. And if I get it, that's fabulous. But isn't this awesome that I'm even getting to have this experience? And if there was a possibility of embodying that, you know, in your whole self, not just in words, but like you really felt that, you really were connected with that, then it wouldn't be an issue, right? So this is part of the work of going from fear to feeling fabulous. It has different components. Oh, and I'm saying from fear to feeling fabulous is actually the name of my new program that I'm working one-on-one and developing a group program as well, which will come out in April. But it's need to, first of all, thank you. So it starts out with, you know, you can't push fear down and expect it to disappear. You have to almost befriend it. You have to get to know it. It's like this part of your soul that's asking for acknowledgement, for healing, for love. And so the first part of dealing with fear is not running away from it, but to be present with it. And kind of the more you get to understand it without judgment, but more with curiosity and even playfulness, then it doesn't become something that is to be feared. You don't have to fear fear, but you can investigate it. And the second part is healing that fear and letting go of any things that need to get forgiven, past history, things that people might have said to you, experiences that you might have had, forgiving yourself, forgiving other people, forgiving what life has brought you, and so that you can, it's almost like clearing out your emotional and psychic mental closet of these cobwebs, because when they're cluttering up your being, you can't fully move forward with freedom because you've got things that are holding you back, because you're going to get triggered and you're going to be stuck. I know this so well. I know this so well. I'm like this with my singing. Yeah. And I've been singing for 35 years And I went through a very, very challenging period that I'm just kind of crawling out of now. And honestly, it's through my developing of these techniques for speaking in front of an audience that is helping me. It's like, okay, Linda, now do it with yourself, with your singing. And it's working. So I'm getting someplace. I'm so super excited. So the second part is to replace those. You have this cleared out closet you can put new clothes in, and you can replace it with the feelings of presence that's relaxed and grounded and centered. You know, all the things that you want to feel ideally and connected, and that you're coming from your heart. And so it's like first you have to tune in to see what's there, and then you use your intention to tune up your mind, to shift those your perspective, to reframe the sensations that do come, to see how it can be of benefit rather than one of oppression. So mm-hmm. So when you go into your audition, you're like feeling, oh my God, I'm so amazingly afraid, or I don't know if I can curse here. So just say it like that. And then to be able to shift it to that other suggestion I had of, wow, this is so amazing. I get to do this. So
yeah,
that's the reframe. That is the reframe. And in truth, this is, I mean, it's not just with performing. This is the reframe that we want in our lives, because we want, as entrepreneurs, as change makers, to be able to move forward and to make the kind of impact that we want without feeling hindered or held back or enslaved by our redundant thoughts, our regrets, our past burdens, right?
Right. And that, you know, that really is such a key to anything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And within the entrepreneurial world, there's lots of people who struggle with, well, how am I going to get from here to there? And mm-hmm. I know I've been there. I still get there. You've been there probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think there's an entrepreneur in this world that hasn't been there, no matter where they are in their career. And I think it's, you get to the next level, and then again, you're clearing out your closet and facing those blocks and what's holding you back from getting to the next level, and then the next, and then the next. And I think it's such a key that as entrepreneurs or as coaches or as healers or whatever we are doing in life, it's the continuous looking within and reflecting on our own baggage and our own fears and the things that hold us back. And only then can you move past them and really create what you want and dream of.
Right, right, right. And yet I also feel like simultaneously there is a way to find the happiness and the bliss and the feelings of expansion in the moment, you know, so that when we are working on something, it's not like we're there 100% of the time. It's not like, because feelings come and go, thoughts come and go, sensations come and go. And so, and that's where the practice comes in, a present moment awareness. So if people ever have read Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, or New Earth, I highly recommend them, that you can create moments throughout your day to just stop and pause and savor and enjoy. And it's this, and it's that process of getting to know, what does enjoyment feel like in my body? What does pleasure feel like? What does connection feel like in my body? So that as you practice those things, it kind of replaces and kind of can envelop, it can expand and then envelop all those other feelings. So let's say right now, my heart is probably beating a little faster than it usually does. And I could say, this is the reframe, I could say, oh shit, I'm nervous. But that's not what my mind goes to anymore. It used to go there. What it goes to now is, oh, there's all this energy rushing through my body and it feels so good. So it's like you learn to feel, you learn to name things, to see things, to experience them in a way that feels better to you. And so then it becomes more of the sense of pleasure and kind of like a natural high. And then so yeah. you can feel like between you and I, like here we are, like kind of like engaging and kind of wrestling with these ideas or sculpting them together. And there's this energy between us. And we're probably both aware that we are being witnessed, right? We're being witnessed right now by people who are listening in. And there is that kind of like, so I could either like cut myself off and not pay attention to that, or I could just like allow it in a sense of physical relaxation, allow myself to be in the presence of other people listening. So that's the, so there may be a time that you kind of like are working on the letting go, but letting go doesn't happen all at once. Letting go of fear, it's not like you do it once and it's over with, as we said before. You do little bits at a time, like the onion that you mentioned. And then at other moments of, you know, it could be the same day. It probably is the same day or the same week or the same month that you are also building up these other kind of muscles, these awareness muscles, these pleasure receptors in your body and these other vehicles for allowing yourself to utilize. I mean, this is what people love about. If you look up why I love to perform or why I love to sing, I mean, why I love to be in front of an audience, you will hear from people say, I love the energy that comes in from magnitude, and it allows me to even be more of who I am. It allows me to amplify myself and to feel even larger so that I can give back to the audience. And here you've got this circle of energy that comes into you and then returns. So this is where really we're going. We're going towards like creating a community upliftment and raising our, I think, this is where I'm going anyway, raising our vibration.
Yeah.
And why? Because I feel like this is going a little deeper, but I feel like we are, if you say, well, what kind of a difference are people trying to make? Well, we're trying to make the planet a better place, right? We're trying to make humanity more humane, more just, more, we want our lives to feel like we're fulfilling our highest potential. And so, yeah, we do want to have this experience of lifting each other up together. You know, that we are just raising our consciousness or raising our vibe. We're making the world a better place one person at a time as we each kind of can pay attention to how we experience our own vibration, our own energy, and how we bring it to the world and then trigger other people or inspire other people to do the same.
And I absolutely, I love that idea. There's, I'm just chomping at the bit here because there's a few ideas that you brought up and I'm like, yes, yes. And, you know, we, as human beings, people spend so much time blaming others or trying to pass the buck or trying to find fault with what other people are doing, which doesn't raise the bar at all. I mean, really, it decreases it. It decreases everyone's energy. And when we really get our own responsibility within it, because really that's all we can do.
That's right.
And how we function as individuals, you know, we as individuals and a collective group function in this world. And how can we continually work to raise our vibrations and have others do the same and empower others to do the same so that I agree with you, so that this world does become a better place, a place of healing hurts and, you know, love and peace, which is, we're in that kind of crux right now between, you know, the war between goodness and evil, it feels like a lot of the time, especially mm-hmm. when you turn on the news, which I try mm-hmm. not to do. So I absolutely love that thought and those ideas. And I also love the thought that you had brought in really feeling your body and understanding that physiological process. And what does it mean when your heart starts pounding? Mm-hmm. Does it mean that you're angry or anxious? Or does it mean that you're excited and wanting to explore further possibilities? Mm-hmm. And it's up to us as individuals to make each of those things into negatives or positives. What's going to help us get through that experience so that it benefits us instead of destroys us?
Right, right. And, you know, like even like, so even if it is, the answer is, well, my heart beating is, I'm afraid. Even if it is that, that we can surround that with our self-compassion and our love rather than like, oh shit, I'm afraid, you know? So rather than compounding the fear with more worry, that we can use it as an invitation to be closer to ourselves, to be kinder to ourselves, to point to something that may, to be gentler. Yeah. To be gentler. And that's where actually I think the healing comes in, because you don't want to just say, oh, heart's beating, how can I reframe? That's not the first place to start. Although, you know, truthfully, there may be times that that's the best first aid that in a particular situation. Maybe it is. But when you get the time, it's much, much clearer and meaningful to be able to let it be there with your sense of compassion, surrounding it with love and looking at what is this telling me that I could let go of? What's behind this? What am I really worried about? That I'm not good enough? Was it that my father told me that I'd never succeed? Is it, which is what my case was, is it that, or another one, my sister's always told me to shut up, you're stupid.
Aww.
So, but I can say those things and I don't feel it anymore because, I mean, I love my sisters and they adore me now, but there was a time that, oh my God, it was oppressive and I felt submerged underneath the hurt. So it wouldn't have benefited me to always say, oh, it's just that, I'm going to move on. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can just sweep it under, and if you kind of reframe enough times, maybe it will work. But in my experience, it doesn't, or hasn't worked, at least not for long, that I'll always at some point have to say, you know what, I need to return to that. And even today, you know, I might, like right now I say that doesn't bother me, but you know what, maybe in a year I'll go to a deeper place and I'll go, oh my God, I didn't finish healing that hurt I had. Let's see how I can take that another level deeper and forgive them, forgive myself, and come from a place of love and see how that frees me up even further.
Yes, yeah. And I agree with you. I think whenever you push something under a rug and choose not to deal with it, I always say we have a human body rule. So our human body rule
is
whatever goes, whatever goes in must come out.
Uh-huh.
And our emotions are no different. So
I love that.
What generally happens when we push our emotions down and don't deal with the true emotion behind it is that the emotions become bigger and bigger and more out of control until you can't contain it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's where it all starts bubbling over and people feel out of control.
Yeah.
So I think that acknowledgement of, that hurts. No, that's not okay. And then reflecting on it and making it a different experience for you and reframing it becomes very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to share a couple of things about, you know, like some tips, perhaps.
Yeah.
And because people might be saying, oh, this is, sounds all great, but, you know, what can I take from this? So starting, like, really, really simply, I think it's really important to remember why is it that you are doing what you're doing. So let's say you're going on Periscope or you want to make videos for your website. No, why are you doing that? You know, of course, you might say, well, everyone says that it's a good thing to do to create the, you know, like a trust factor, or I feel like, you know, that's kind of like a mental concept, but there's probably more to it. It's like you want to show people that who you are truthfully, and you want to make a connection with them. So, and you want to make a connection with them because there's something underneath that, because there's something that you believe in, that if there was, like, if you got to have a billboard in a town and thousands of people were driving by that, and you got to say like three words or one sentence, and that was your chance to make a message for humanity that would change them, you know, what would that be? That's probably more your why. So to get deeper into that connection with your purpose, I think really, really helps to bring a different sense of presence to being on stage or being on podcasts or on video, so that when you go there, that you can, like, go into, I'm all about tuning into the body. I'm a dancer. I really feel, and not just that I'm a dancer, I'm a human being. We've got bodies. Life is an embodied experience. So we've been taught to leave the body behind. And of course, now there's a lot of suggestion that going into the body may be helpful. And yes, it is. So it is in this case as well. So to, like, physically feel that connection of your why, like to take time and connect with that before you go on to whatever presentation platform you are on is so very helpful. And the other thing is to physically be in your body. And what do I mean by that? I mean, like, stand up and feel your feet on the floor. Feel your legs. Feel how grounded and supportive you are on your feet, that how your legs are kind of balancing your torso and your arms and your head, and enjoy that feeling. And the part of the practice is, what does this feel like to be grounded? Because if you don't know what it's like to be grounded when you're not in front of an audience, you're not going to feel it when you're in front of the audience. I mean, by far, what people have said to me is, I walked out on stage and I felt like I was floating above my body, right? I mean, that is so common that you just feel like you're out of your body. Well, that's where the practice of being in your body is so helpful. So take time and, you know, like, bounce on your feet, put on music, dance around, feel your body moving. Whatever it does, take a walk, do calisthenics, fitness stuff, but whatever kind of, like, brings you into that physical sensation of your body is going to serve you so, so well when you are in front of an audience, because then you are meeting them from your whole bodied self and not just with the words and or your thoughts. So that's the second thing. So the first was your why. The second was your body. Let me think. What would I say is a third suggestion? Well, there's so many things. But I guess I'll go off the edge here a little bit, because I feel like this has served me really, really well for so many years in so many situations. I use it for going into a meeting whenever I work with a client. Whenever I do something like this, like a podcast or go on camera, I literally, and I'm not a religious person, but I'm a spiritual person, as you know, I open myself up to channel. And what I mean by that is I ask for the words and the thoughts to come through me so that I don't have to do all the work myself. And I don't know who I'm asking. I don't know, is it my higher self? Is it the greater forces of the universe? Is it my enlightened ancestors? Is it God? Is it the divine? I don't know. And I really don't care. I just like the feeling that I get when I open myself and say, you know, let whatever I say or let my performance come through me. You know, I'm going to open myself and just trust that whatever comes out, whatever gets said, it's going to be what somebody needs to hear, what somebody needs to be reminded of. It's going to touch some one person's life and be worthwhile for that. And that's why we share, right? Because we want to help, we want to touch some person. And so I suggest that as number three, to try out this idea. I mean, maybe that's familiar to you. For some people, it will be. For some people, it will be like, what? But try it out. You know, because it makes it a lot easier to think that you're not alone, whether or not you have a concrete image of what that not aloneness is or not. So, and, you know, like I've gone into meetings, I think like I'll put on a tag on a little B part to that is I like to envision like, how would I like to feel afterwards? So like in a meeting that I'm really dreading and I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be so hard to talk about this stuff. I think, okay, how would I like to feel at the end? And I picture myself smiling and feeling relaxed and perhaps giving that person a hug or a handshake, depending on who they are. And maybe a sense of satisfaction or a sense of support or understanding. And just allowing myself to go to that place in my visualization. I don't remember any single time when it hasn't come to be. I can't remember any time that I've done that I haven't ended up in that place that I intended. So I recommend that. One is to open yourself up and also to envision, like, how would you like to feel at the end? What would be the best possible outcome? So those are my tips.
Oh, those are amazing, amazing tips. So let me ask you a question. Who, you know, would rather be anywhere else than doing a podcast or a live stream? And when they do start, just feel so incredibly, even the thought of it makes them feel so incredibly anxious and nervous that it even becomes hard to get going. Any suggestions there?
Yes. Well, my first suggestion is you don't have to do this. You know, like there's nothing that says you must do this. Only do it if you feel like there's something in you that says, I want to do this, but I'm so scared, but I want to do this, but I'm so scared. So you have to have enough of a motivation to do it to make it worth your while. We don't have to make ourselves do something that's so horrible for us that we rather, you know, do anything but, unless there's a piece of it that says, I want to get over this. It could simply be just to get over it, just to say, I don't want this to be like a wall or an obstacle that I was never able to step beyond. Okay, so that's number one, is make sure that you are doing it because you really want to, because it's not going to be worth your time and effort if it's not something you want to do. And there are plenty of other things to do besides getting on a podcast or making a video. So, for instance, like if you're an entrepreneur and you want to do videos, don't get behind the camera. Do a camera that has B-roll, which are images, or, you know, one of these animated things, or screen share. You don't have to be physically in front of the camera in order to make videos or do webinars even. So that's number one. So that takes care of that. But what if you say you do want to? My suggestion is to put yourself in a really supportive environment. And that could be, it could be taking a course. It could be, I know, let's say on Periscope, there are all of these wonderful Periscope groups that kind of get on each other's scopes and they cheer each other on. And there's even one that's called like Do It Scared. And it's a great idea. And so you can look around and find a community like that. That's number one. What I did, I think when I was dealing with my own fears originally, because even though I love to dance, I've danced all my life, that didn't mean I was comfortable being on stage. In fact, I had that out-of-body experience all the time. And it wasn't until I did my expressive therapies work and I felt like I found a practice that totally, totally changed my feelings of being seen. And it's a practice called authentic movement. I don't know if you've come across that, Jessica. So
yeah.
What authentic movement, have you heard of that? So what it is, it's a practice where a person has their eyes closed and they are being witnessed by somebody or people who are there in their most compassionate, non-judgmental presence. Kind of like a womb, they create a container, a womb-like container for you to be completely safe as you can be in an environment. And then, of course, you have to deal with your own inner judgment. So what happens is you close your eyes and you simply wait until your body has an impulse to move. And you then allow, let's say it's your arm, kind of like rises up. And you simply follow your body moving, letting go of any kind of judgment, but just allowing yourself to be kind of curious. Okay, where's my arm going? Oh, it's going over my head. Oh, now it's making a fist. Now it's kind of like pressing into my face. And as much as you can to allow the body to do its quote-unquote own thing while you are simply an observer, a non-judgmental observer to your own body movement.
I think the authentic movement piece, Linda, is really, really, really interesting. Any other tips on that piece?
Well, yes, absolutely, because what I wanted to paint a picture of is the experience, the invaluable experience of learning to feel comfortable being witnessed as I was being my most vulnerable self. I didn't even know what was going to be coming out of my movement. And oftentimes it had a lot of feeling and a lot of, angst or drama. But everything I did was completely accepted and surrounded with love and compassion. So that's what that practice, and I would do this, and I taught it for 7 years, 4 days a week. That practice of being comfortable and knowing that, people are looking at me and they love what they're seeing has allowed me to be on stage doing this trance dance with my eyes closed, is very intense, very moving, and I can feel completely grounded in it because of that experience that I was given of being in an environment of complete non-judgment and openness and compassion to allow me to express myself in that way. And that is the kind of experience, that's a type of experience, not necessarily in movement, but through visualization, meditation, and with movement that I provide for my clients.
And I think that's such a beautiful experience and such a healing experience.
Yes, yes, it's very deep.
Before we wrap up, is there anything you want to leave our audience with?
Well, I do have a couple of, nice gifts. One is I call them mini mental refreshers, and they are 2-minute audios that are delivered to your inbox daily for 7 days, and they are a chance to just stop what you're doing at your desk, to tune in and clear your brain. That's why I call them a mental refresher. And it's simple stuff that, if you thought about it, you might do yourself, but unfortunately we don't. We just keep on working. And so this is a chance to, take a couple of minutes, or really short, 2 minutes, and enjoy this experience of being in your body and clearing your mind. So that's number one. And you can get those either by going to my website, my front page. It's Linda Ugelow, LindaUgelow. You can get them there.
And we also have the link. We have the link on this page to Linda's site. So if you just look at this page.
Yeah.
You will find that link.
And if somebody is interested in either hearing about being on the list for when my From Fear to Feeling Fabulous in front of your audience comes out, you can go to lindayugalo.com/ From Fear to Feeling Fabulous. And you can sign up there. And if you are interested in getting some help before the course comes out, you know, I'm happy to chat with whomever and see if, you know, there is, if you are in a place that, if somebody is in a place where I think that I could serve them to fulfill their desire to put themselves out more comfortably in front of their audience.
And that is so amazing and so important as an entrepreneur to feel comfortable in your own skin and to be able to voice your message in a confident and healthy way.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Linda, for joining me today. I know I've had a fabulous time. So
I've had a fabulous time with you, Jessica. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And for all you out there, I'm Jessica Aaronworth. If you want to know more about me, you can visit me at brainhealthyclinic.com. I will see you next show. Take care and have a great day, everyone.
Coach on Fire Radio.